I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt. If I could start again, a million miles away, I would keep myself, I would find a way.
Hello, and welcome. Gamora is an Italian TV series. It focuses on the Savastano clan, a high-ranking mafia family, itself a part of the larger Neapolitan crime syndicate, the Camorra. And the patriarch of the family is Pietro Savastano, who got to the top by carving a brutal and bloody path through the streets of Naples. And then there is his son, Gennaro, Jenny, who undergoes one of the best transformations of a character I've ever seen, as he goes from the soft, pampered son of a mafioso to a cold-blooded killer. And the other main protagonist is Ciro, who has worked for Pietro since his teenage years, and Ciro is nicknamed the Immortal for all the times he's escaped death. And the show is based on a book written by the author, Roberto Saviano, who was still under police protection for revealing many truths about how the Camorra operates. And there's a roar, authenticity to every scene as we witness constant power plays and brutal violence and a never-ending turf war between competing factions, all played out against a backdrop of the Naples slums. As Saviano wrote, an empire is not cleaved by shaking hands, but by cutting them with a blade. And the main focus of the story is on Jenny and Ciro's journey. Ciro, he acts as a mentor to the young Jenny, introducing him to the way business is conducted on the streets, even shadowing Jenny in his first kill on the orders of his father Pietro. Jenny, he hesitates, but we soon see him transform from the scared, pampered son into a ruthless, power-hungry leader of his own clan. And the years of living under his father's fearsome reputation and being seen as the weak, dim-witted son have eaten away at him. So he soon rises up, lets go of his fear, and goes head-to-head against his father in a turf war, while Ciro plays both sides, waiting for his opportunity to strike and seek control. Now, organized crime over recent decades has largely disappeared from public view, and this goes for a lot of gangs today. And they have a far lower public profile now, but they've spread into many avenues of power and business. In Italy, the Camorra, it's infected the supply chain and the infrastructure. And they're more sophisticated and complex in the way they do business. They've adapted, and they're widespread. The Camorra has a well-deserved reputation for being the most violent of all the mafia syndicates, and operates via a vast global supply chain, with businesses in every industry, and politicians and high-ranking officials in their back pocket, all working in tandem. And Saviano, he points out that the annual turnover for some of the top Camorra bosses would be the GDP of a few small nations combined. He talks of Scampia and similar suburbs, the area commonly referred to as the ghetto, where many of the clans operate in Naples. He states that an area where dozens of clans are operating, with profit levels of 300 million euros annually, primarily from the drug trade alone, cannot be a ghetto. And everything that comes in and out of the port, they control. They operate Italy's waste disposal industry. They mix the industrial and the chemical waste with gravel, or they relabel it so it can be transported and then dumped in landfills. They use children to unload the waste, which is toxic. So the surrounding areas, they have skyrocketing rates of cancer. But big business and government are all tied into this, and it's all under the table. And Salviano, he states that if it wasn't for the Camorra providing this service, Italy would have never met the economic conditions for entering the EU. So organised crime, it's endemic, and is vital for Italy's economy. And for many areas, especially in the surrounding regions of Naples, organised crime is the main economy. So for many young men coming up, gang life is their only opportunity. The Camorra, they have power, they have respect, and there is glory in death. And they don't discriminate, you know, boys, girls, young, old, they're all tied into the system. And for a young man, it's about clawing your way to the top through violence and blood. For a young woman, it's about aligning herself with a young man who's connected, so she doesn't have to live in poverty and can have the chance to raise a family. And they talk of respect, they talk of brotherhood and family, but in truth, a young man living this life, he can't trust anyone, especially those closest to him, as everyone is looking for an opportunity to ascend in the ranks. And that's the life. And it's a life of isolation and paranoia. As Saviano writes, whatever you do, it will always be a mistake for one reason or another. That is true loneliness. And Saviano, he detailed a number of murders in the book. Men being beheaded by circular saws or beaten to death, murdered in front of their families, being shot, stabbed, blown up with hand grenades. And one in particular, about a foot soldier who tried to come on to one of the boss's relatives. So they brought him to the beach, they strapped him to a chair, and they shoved sand in his mouth and up his nostrils. So his saliva mixed with the sand, turning it into a kind of cement that slowly and very painfully suffocated him to death. So the Camorra, they spare no one, men, women, children. Now, even paramedics in these areas of Naples, they won't load a dying man into an ambulance until the police arrive, for fear the ambulance will be hijacked by gang members who will return to finish the job. And Saviano, he expresses in writing the perspective of many young men in the life. Everyone I know is either dead or in jail. I want to become a boss. I want to have supermarkets, stores, factories. I want women. I want cars. I want respect. And then I want to die. And I want to die like a man. Like somebody who truly commands. I want to be killed. So you can see how that allure of power could be intoxicating to a young man. We come to learn a lot about Ciro's background, because he was a street kid. He was recruited by Pietro at a very early age. And like many boys, he was seduced by the promise of power and status. Although, as we see, his daily life is a struggle to even scratch a living. Gang recruitment, it's a growth business in recent years. The age of children joining gangs, it's getting lower and lower. Rural and suburban areas are now prime targets for recruitment. And a boy welcomed into the fold of a gang, he finds a surrogate family. Being in a gang, there's for the first time a sense of autonomy, of belonging to something, some semblance of stability, and most of all, a sense of hope for the future. You belong, you're protected, you have status, there's structure now, you're not alone, you're part of a brotherhood, when in truth, that child is being exploited. So it's not just one thing that's going to turn a young boy away from that path. The risk factors, they're complex, they're widespread. And any form of intervention for that child, it's running up against a multi-layered complex web of social factors and criminal enterprise. If you want to help that kid, We have to approach it from their perspective, which few people ever will. And we brand young boys and men with generic politically correct terms that are so broad and baseless they have no meaning. No, they're violent. They're troublesome just due to toxic masculinity or testosterone. Now, rather than the fact that young boy has a deep-set sense of hopelessness, you know, that his identity is one built around alienation and failure. And these boys turn to gangs because the world rejects them, because it's the only message they hear, and no one has taken the time to listen to or to approach things from their perspective. Now, what motivation does a young man have to change when every word that young man says, when every action he takes is wrong? Where in every avenue of life he's rejected, when even his presence is enough to warrant hostility and contempt from others. And then we turn around and we expect empathy and investment from that same young man. It's a borderline delusional expectation. Because these young men, they know full well the value they hold in the eyes of society. They're under no misconceptions. And Saviano, he expresses this. When you die on the street, a horrible roar forms around you. So it's not true that you die alone. But it ends with faces that are not known. People who touch your legs and arms to find out if your body is already a corpse or if it's worth calling for an ambulance or not. Because when have we ever asked this question? Is this boy in a position mentally, socially, and emotionally to learn, to engage? Because to establish any form of relationship, there has to be trust. And genuine care is giving enough of a damn not to judge or point the finger, but to actually try and see things from their perspective and listen. Because when dealing with a young prospect or a boy going down that path, there's no room for anything other than blunt honesty. Because if you don't push back and talk straight, then they will manipulate you. And they'll push you away just to test you, so it's a big responsibility. You can't give up on that kid. And any man that steps into that role of mentor, he has to clearly model behaviours and expectations. But, you know, we all have tunnel vision, and we're all products of our environment. Many men who come up in these environments, they're not aware of options that many of us take for granted. They can't see any other possibilities, and even if they could, the damage has already been done. Because men in this environment, their world is narrow, it's insular. And all outsiders are seen as potential threats or marks. So there's a constant testing process. And it's a world where only the strong survive, where any indecision or trepidation is enough to place a question mark over you. Then you're the weak link that needs to be cut from the chain. And to an outsider, the violent actions of these men, they could be construed as the actions of psychopaths, but there's been studies that gang members score higher in empathy and have a higher probability of social reintegration when or if they choose to go straight and leave the life. Now, their bonds to family and religion may be contributing factors, or the importance placed on social and familial bonds. But ultimately, it comes down to mindset. Now, as Saviano puts it, we stupidly believe that for some reason, a criminal act must be more premeditated and deliberate than a harmless act, but there really is no difference. Criminal acts have an elasticity that ethical judgments lack. Because in truth, anything can be justified in the mind. If the act is framed as a business decision rather than personal, or as a preemptive act of survival. Saviano writes, "Justice is an abstract principle which allows, according to how it's interpreted, to absolve or condemn. If someone offends you, if he mistreats you, he is committing an injustice. If, on the other hand, he does a favor for you, he does you justice." And this TV series is raw. Now, the violence is brutal, but it's a realistic depiction of gang life. And growing up in this environment where the strong dominate, where masculinity is defined by how vicious you are, you can see how boys would gravitate to the only male role models they have available to them, because what other options are there? Today, there are no male role models today, and masculinity is demonized. And the only thing that's changed is that this demonization is more overt now. But the only universal truth when it comes to the pain men experience is that when men suffer, we all suffer. And we're seeing examples of this currently. Young men raging at the world. And that acting out is going to increase exponentially. Gang membership has risen sharply over the past decade. So it's the push-pull effect. It's not hard to see there's a hell of a lot more perceived positives than negatives. In one corner, we have status, money, women, a surrogate family, brotherhood, meaning, purpose, stability. And in the blue corner, standing at 110 pounds soaking wet, we have broken families, we have poverty, we have neglect. In a society that kicks a young man in the teeth every time he sticks his head up. You see, the rivalry that develops between Jenny and Pietro, it's about a son fighting for the respect of his father, and a father trying to maintain his dominance. But driving it all is unresolved resentment. You know, all the unspoken disappointments, the absence of the father-son relationship. And this dynamic is not unique, and it's fast become the norm in many families. Many fathers, they're not a part of young men's lives anymore. They're entirely absent, even if the father resides in the home. Guidance, mentorship, the passing on of knowledge and experience, it's mostly non-existent now. The father, he's either a ghost that floats in and out and just throws money down on the table, or he's a distant memory. And fathers, they're not seen as relevant today. Their role has either been reduced to provider, or they've been forced out of the family home in favor of welfare and child support. Now, a father's role and status within the family, it's been reduced to how much he earns. So he's a dollar sign, and his contributions are never enough. And there's no other male family members or members of the tribe now to guide or model masculinity. And families back in the day, they were trimmed of the fat, they were streamlined down to the shell of a nuclear family where the father went out to work. The father's value was then determined by his paycheck rather than his role within the family. But even now, that model has disintegrated. There is no family or community now. The father is unwanted, he's disrespected, he's bad-mouthed at every opportunity. Masculinity is shamed, is demonized, fatherhood is mocked and harshly criticized. What young man in his right mind would ever want to be reduced to that? And Jenny, Ciro and Pietro, they have respect, they have status. But it comes with a risk, but at least it's an identity. And the only time we really get to see strong masculine characters in film or TV now is through criminals. And Gamora is even rare in that respect, as you're seeing a very authentic depiction of masculinity in that environment, as many of the actors live on those same streets and are involved in the life. Now, how they interact, their body language, and so on. It's an environment of hyper-masculinity, where even death is romanticized and, in a way, longed for. But of course, the reality of death is much different. As Saviano writes, "The last word spoken by a dying man is believed to be his last, most important, fundamental thought. But it's not like that. When you die, nothing comes to light except fear. And almost all men repeat the same banal, simple, immediate phrase. I don't want to die." Because what Jenny never received from his father was respect. He always fell short of his father's expectations. And the only way he could strive to earn it is by waging a war on the streets. And as the bodies pile up, the more calculating and cold-hearted all three main characters become. Many men with absent fathers or who had abusive or hostile relationships with their father or mother, that becomes their model for future relationships. And many of those same patterns play out with their own sons. Now, all that unspoken resentment and unresolved pain between father and son carries through from generation to generation. And all that hurt resurfaces in all the wrong places and in relationships, at work, and sometimes through violence and criminality. As one character says in the show, everything I have in this life fits into a suitcase, and I don't want to open it. Jenny, he carries this pain, and it's the motivating force behind every action he takes. He's like the character of Sonny from The Godfather, except ramped up to 10. He's incredibly cunning and resourceful, but it's all that rage, all that disappointment, grief, and shame he carries from having lived under the immense shadow of his father that drives him. It's his inability to express that anger and separate himself from it that keeps him stuck in the past. So his identity is still based or centered around a deep sense of inferiority. But the son who confronts his father, even in absentia, even without his father present, that son who can make sense of their relationship and see his father as flawed and understand the whys, he can let go of the anger and the hurt and emerge with a deeper and more positive sense of identity and masculinity. And what I really love about the characters on the show is the moments of silence, you know, the micro-expressions. We see a flash of hesitation or doubt. And so much is communicated just through a glance, yet nothing is what it seems. So you don't see the angles. So the paranoia of the characters, it plays really well. In the series, it drags you into a labyrinth of brutality. It's a mafia show, but it's unlike any other before it, because it's so close to the actual reality. You know, Saviano wrote, "Literature is frightening when it reaches the heart, the gut, and the mind of the reader." And the same can be said about film, though it's increasingly becoming less common now as masculine characters are becoming a relic of the past. And the characters in the show, they commit horrific acts, but we see a lot of ourselves reflected in them. So you can't help but identify. But ultimately, we know it's all for nothing. All the violence and the deaths, it's the same cycles playing over and over. And Saviano, he states that he has respect for those who read, as reading is a dangerous act because it gives shape and dimension to words and turns everything upside down and makes change. And to know is the first step towards change. And that those who build a new vocabulary are altering the direction of the world because they have understood how to be in it. And just like the original book, this series is a brave foray into the realities of criminal life, and it's now up to its fifth season. I'd rank it up there with Breaking Bad as one of my favourite shows of all time. It's well worth a watch.